Welcome to AM Best Audio.
David, could you introduce yourself, your title, and what do you do for Circa?
I'm David Self. I'm chair of the board of directors for Cayman Islands, Cayman International Reinsurance Companies Association, Circa.
Andre?
Andre Eubanks, Minister for Financial Services and Commerce, Minister for Investment, Innovation, and Social Development, and Deputy Premier of the Cayman Islands.
David, with investment barriers falling across most borders, why is Circa focusing on the United States, where the vast majority of its insured risk is located? Aren't there opportunities in other markets that could be at a higher rate than the U.S.?
It's a matter of focus. There's a huge opportunity coming out of the life and annuity space in the U.S. And we've just, from a regulatory perspective, chosen to focus our energies on that sector. And that means we don't have to focus on the Solvency II issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of opportunity and focus and being effective. The deals that are coming our way are resulting reinforcing that priority, and it's not that we are blind to other things, but we just see this as a prime opportunity to stay focused on the U.S. life and annuity business. We have P&C members as well,
mm-hmm.
And a growing number of them, so you know I can see a day when we will shift focus to be broader, but right now there's a real opportunity we want to capitalize on.
So in which sector of reinsurance are you finding the most growth as far as your opportunities at Circa?
Well, the life and the annuity space is really the growth. With wealth transfer happening in the next number of years in the U.S., $340 billion of annuities written last year, it's a huge opportunity, and keeping focused on that to grow our sector in Cayman is key.
I know a lot of that's driven by interest rates, and we're looking like we're starting to go into a down cycle for interest rates. How do you see that focus shifting at all, or do you?
Well, I think the broader strategy that's driving that is wealth transfer, and so that's not going to change. Rates will change, but I think there is a macro trend which will continue beyond the change in the rates in the cycle. So I don't see that having a detrimental effect on our focus.
I was looking at the number of international insurance company licenses, and there was an upcycle after some lower negative growth years from 2010 to 2017. Would you describe the reinsurance sector as cyclical, or I mean, is it a matter of the change in scale, like some of the people getting licenses are bigger and coming in with more assets to the table?
I think there's a number of things that are happening. The wealth transfer issues coming out of the U.S. There's also a new community of investors who are bringing capital to the table. And in that context, we can step up with all that we do really well. We have, you know, a very broad sector mix in Cayman. We have a huge funds business. We have a huge captive business. And these are all skills that will support our industry as it responds to these other macro level opportunities. So I think a lot of things are coming together that suggests that the growth will just keep growing. And I know we have some stats we can share with you about 24 over 23, where we see the growth continuing. And interest rates aside, I think that will continue even beyond that.
We've highlighted in a past article about how there's competition among domiciles to attract investment. You know, a lot of the key players like to tout their regulatory friendly environment, good business services infrastructure. I mean, all the big consulting firms, all the big accounting firms have a shingle on the outside their office saying, come talk to us if you want to set up shop. How is Cayman Islands going to stand out when you have all these, you know, domiciles that are trying to jockey for business, whether it's captives or reinsurers?
Have you been to the Cayman Islands?
I have not.
Okay. I think you need to see it and you'll get the answer to that question. So everyone will try to promote their strengths. But in the case of the Cayman Islands, you can see it in a real tangible way, not just by going there and seeing the breadth of professionals, the legal, political, and fiscal stable environment. You have a top-notch regulator with top-notch staff and resources. You have a community of professionals that are in other institutionalized areas in terms of investment funds, in terms of banking, in terms of private trust, family offices, tech. You have an entire ecosystem, 1 hour flight to Miami, amazing infrastructure, a court system that goes to the Privy Council in the UK. So if there is going to be dispute resolution, you have predictable outcomes based on UK case law. You have an English-speaking country that moves at the pace of New York. You have an entire ecosystem that is built and ready for this type of business. So without reference to any other country, when you actually see Cayman and study it in its context, you'll understand why those features stand out on their own. Hmm.
It's very diversified, as Andre has suggested, and that creates the buzz of the sector. We capitalize on that. We're just fitting into a very robust environment already in the reinsurance sector. And the other thing that environment presents is a very stable forecast into the future from a tax position, from a political position, from an economic position. Business sees stability into the future, mm-hmm. and that's part of the appeal of Cayman, that it has a forecast of being consistently the way it is for deals that are going to come.
You know, it seems like a lot of this is driven by liquid assets rather than fixed investment into the Caymans. I mean, I remember in the late 90s, there was like kind of a issue in some of the emerging markets where too much hot money was coming into markets on a macroeconomic level, and that caused a little bit of a currency crisis. What are some of the downsides of that mobility of capital across national borders when it comes to how you see it in the Cayman Islands?
I think what you will find, and I'm glad you went back to the 90s, but this is our regulatory timeline from the 1960s to present year, and where we had a small core of businesses that we introduced, of banks, companies, a bit of insurance, which then grew over the years, and you'll see large swaths of activity around key world events. So around 2000, 2001, after September 11th, you start to see anti-money laundering rules come into place. Then you get to the global crisis of 08, you start to see more tax information sharing. Then you move along here and the world becomes more and more focused on not just the exchange on a request basis, but automatic exchange of tax information and beneficial ownership rules. And then in addition to that, towards the end, you start to see us implement new measures and rules to keep ahead of international standards. So the reason I make that point to answer your question is that what we have built over the years is not an industry that's dependent on any particular asset class, which is why we're attracted to this space, because we want a set of an array of financial services. So that if any of them hit a bump in the road, they're not completely dependent on each other, they all fall down. Mm.
The other thing that the timeline will illuminate is that Cayman was a founding member of the IAIS. Mm-hmm. We were also on the task force that wrote ICP 13, the Reinsurance and Risk Transfer Insurance Core Principle. So we've long since committed to a very robust regulatory regime that drives our deals. You know, that may not be transparent to the rest of the world, but that's our history. We are committed to those rules and use them every day when we're looking at business.
So how do you see insurance and reinsurance fitting in the broader capital markets and financial services framework for the Caymans?
I'll let David take the micro, and then I'll tell you what I think at a macro level.
Okay.
So, I mean, we have, with this infrastructure we have in Cayman, insurance managers, for example, if you want to move your business to Cayman, you have the choice to not put a team on the ground right away. We have almost 90 reinsurers in Cayman. commercial reinsurers, and then there's a huge captive business. So you have the option to set up without a team on the ground and then graduate within our license classes to a self-managed business model.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
And so I guess some of that is working with your WTWs and your Aons and some of your other...
And they're all associate members of Circa. So, and we're all in this together to try and bring good quality business to Cayman. We're not here to grow market share, to one of your earlier comments. We're here to, you know, bring stable business that's predicated on our long-standing commitments to a sound regulatory, global regulatory framework.
So how do you see...
Can I add to that?
Oh, by all means.
So I think that's fantastic in terms of it, the micro. At the government level, what we see, which plays into my answer to the last question, is we are continuing to evolve and have a vision for a globally respected center of excellence in financial services and innovation. This business, which is attracting institutional investors that are common with our private equity fund vehicles, provides us another building block in that vision. It also, from a community level, provides educational opportunities, job opportunities for young Caymanians, charitable opportunities, more of professionals who are in this space who are going to bring that knowledge to us. So this then kind of broadens and makes us more muscular in terms of a financial services center. So it's an exciting opportunity that we're pursuing.
And how do you see insurance fitting into that framework as well?
Neatly, because it's sound regulation. It fits in all the other core businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Sound regulation, quality over quantity, internationally recognized. It's a business that also strikes at the heart that people understand reinsurance. Okay, if something goes wrong and this person can't fund, then it goes on to the next person. So it's a business that the world can understand, is tangible. And then again, to repeat what I said before, provides opportunities for the local populace.
So how do you see insurance-linked securities evolving, and how can the Cayman Islands benefit from this?
So the benefits of what I just outlined, both to the community and the private sector. What Cayman has been, I think, has excelled at over the years is not necessarily trying to crystal ball exactly where a particular product will go. It is the tripartite relationship between government, industry, and the regulator to spot when something is about to evolve. Is it right for our regulatory and industry profile? If it is, yes. What is the best way for us to regulate it and put the guardrails up and then pursue it? So wherever it goes, it'll be looked at through that lens. And if it's something that is sound that we think that we can do and we have the resources to do it, then we'll go after it.
And I think if you look at our membership list, you see the big players, you know, Brookfield, Aspida, Talcott. They come with their ideas to Cayman, and then we respond to those with a very robust regulator and work through what they need, as opposed to us prescribing what they think their deals should look like. They bring their deals, and our robust system processes them through, you know, the application process, working with the cedent's regulator. So I don't think it's a product push that we're focused on. It's responding to the opportunities that are coming to us.
How, like, what kind of discussion do you have in terms of saying, well, this might be out of line, but this wouldn't be?
So a majority of that would happen through the regulator, the monetary authority. And they do quite often have to say that they can't accept a licensee. Whether they track those stats, they may not, because they're going to be looking at the businesses that actually converted from application to license. But what I can say is that it does happen with a degree of regularity that we know and they know that we cannot do everything. There are different courses for different courses, and maybe a different jurisdiction might be able to do so. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't fit within the profile, doesn't fit within the regulatory framework, then they don't get a license.
And what's magic about Cayman is, you know, because of our commitments, to longstanding commitments to the international regulatory standards, we have a very prudent regulator. But because we're all paddling in the same direction in Cayman, we work closely with CIMA, we work closely with the government. There's a friendliness and an accessibility there to CIMA, mm-hmm. which my understanding is valued by applicants. You can have a conversation and talk through some challenging issues, and that's not necessarily the case in every jurisdiction.
Yeah, what's the vulnerability to like a groupthink if you have an industry too, I guess, friendly with the regulatory side of the business?
But we're governed by our commitments. Our regulatory standards commitments, and that's the foundation of the regulator's activity.
I'll address your question this way, and I've seen it now as minister and when I was a staffer in the Ministry of Financial Services. And I'm sure this is not unique to Cayman. It must happen here in the U.S. It happens in the U.K. Even among the industry, they don't all think alike. The bankers see the world one way, the lawyers see the world one way, the accountants see the world one way, administrators see the world one way. So your job at a policy level, the ministry level, is to take on board all of those views and collect up all the comments and come up with a policy and a set of regulations that fit the purpose of an international standard and achieve the objective of whatever sound business that we're seeking to attract. So I can't see to the myriad of consultations that happen you could have groupthink, even among the industry itself.
So on a certain level, as a policymaker, you're kind of shaving off some of the edges that wouldn't be workable or just wouldn't be beneficial from a risk profile for the Cayman's own reputation as well.
You're molding.
Molding rather than shaving?
Molding.
Okay.
The opportunity to be tailor-made for the country. Very difficult for me to see that there'd be a risk of groupthink, given that everyone is coming from their unique perspective. The regulator is upholding international standards and local law. Industry, and within the sub-industries, are putting forward what they believe is in their best interest, which will vary. And then by the time it comes to government, government has to think of the reputation of the country, the budget, the resources around it, and to be able to know when you're at the table with international assessors, this can withstand scrutiny. Throughout that, it'd be very difficult to find an example where there'd be complete, absolute blind groupthink.
Okay.
A word we hear a lot about from our members is optionality when you come to Cayman. So you can table your own internal capital model. You can request through your application process your accounting basis, your funds arrangements, your investments strategy. All those things play out in a way that feels like there's optionality in the application process. And we hear that as one of the distinguishing characters for people coming to Cayman, companies coming.
The Caymans likes to highlight its tax neutral jurisdiction status. How are the Pillar 2 rules around tax avoidance affecting investment?
Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 are a global common approach. And in October of 2021, we were part of, I think, 139 countries that are signatories to it. So we're not outside of it. We're actually a signatory and a treaty partner. Pillar 2 seeks to have in scope multinational enterprises with 750 AUM. Mm-hmm. That historically has not been a business that Cayman has tried to attract over the years. So we have a very minimal Pillar 2 footprint, primarily because investment funds are viewed as tax neutral, meaning they invest, the fund pays the fees and expenses and taxes where it invests. If there's a profit, it's distributed to the members, shareholders, or partners, then they pay their own home tax. Mm-hmm. So Pillar 2 is not concerned with that business because it's already tax transparent and tax neutral. So given our small footprint, we then have to decide, okay, well, if we have only a certain smaller portion of our book of entities that are actually in scope, The other way that Pillar 2 allows you to participate is it doesn't require you to have a direct tax regime, but you can continue to share with treaty partners so they can assess the tax in their home country. So that is the manner in which we are participating in Pillar 2.
And I guess that if you're focusing on that under $750 million, it opens up a lot of opportunities with captives, let's say, where you're not dealing with giant funds, you're dealing with individual companies that are just looking to manage their own risk.
And even in that, because Pillar 2 is not the only, the global minimum tax is not the only tax on the planet, each entity still has to know its tax profile and be aware of the fact that all of those treaties that are on that timeline that I gave you are in place and information is being exchanged. So you'll still be required to pay taxes where they're owed. Pillar 2 is just another tax that they'll have to take account of.
And our obligation is to support the data sharing that enables that.
Which has been our bedrock principle for the last 25, 30 years.
How are the Cayman Islands looking to ensure that they are bringing the talent and investment in InsurTech to its domicile?
Again, this will be best answered if you come to Cayman. Because when you've seen the infrastructure, when you've seen relatively low crime, when you've seen the ability to get to Miami if you need to, if you want to leave our beautiful jurisdiction, the talent that surrounds you both at a regulatory level, a government level, and a private sector level, all provide an ecosystem that I think is friendly for professionals to want to take advantage of.
At our conference in April in Cayman, we had a session about InsurTechs and some of the work that's going on within our member companies around InsurTech. So we see it as a growth area for pre-insurance.
And to add to that, this then is the connection point that then leads to the young Caymanians who will come up into the industry. This provides them a whole other discipline that necessarily wasn't on their radar 10 years ago. And if professionals are coming to the country, then sharing those expertise, that then provides a pathway for young Caymanians to move into a space that necessarily wasn't as strong as it was 10 years ago.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.